Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Weed Wonks, the podcast that dives deep into the nerdy details, the minutiae, the ever-fun silliness that is cannabis regulatory policy. And we do it all to help our fellow policy wonks, policymakers, regulators, business members, advocates, and the canna curious stay more informed about the ever-changing landscape of cannabis laws and regulations. Please remember to rate, subscribe, and review. I'm your host, Jordan Wellington. Got some really fun guests here, but before we get involved in I think the news of the day and some exciting things we'd like to share, always want to give thanks to RootWorks, our sponsor, as well as our producer, Josh, who is making sure I don't say anything dumb today. We've got a fun and kind of slightly different show today. I have the privilege of welcoming my very good friends and business partners on the podcast, Mason Tevert and Christian Cederberg, because we have some exciting news to share with everybody, because starting in the next couple of days, I will no longer be managing partner at VS Strategies. And in fact, I'll be managing partner at a new firm with a new name, same folks, same great services, same amazing, fun policy work that we're doing, but just under a slightly different brand. And so with that, I'd like to welcome Mason and Christian to the show, and we're going to get talking about what we've got going on here.
Thanks. Glad to be on.
Yeah. So, Mason, since you are the original OG of doing all of this work, would you like to share with everybody what's going on here?
Sure. Well, you know, as things have changed and our firm has grown and evolved and our work has changed, we have decided that it's time to rebrand the firm and rename it. And so from here out, VS Strategies will be known as Strategies 64. And we're very excited about it. It's reflects, you know, the tie that binds between the three of us and Steve Fox and others who helped found the firm. Amendment 64 here in Colorado really brought us all together in many ways. And so we felt it was a great way to highlight that and honor that and move forward based on everything that we've built from that.
Yeah. And I think that's a great way to put it, the tie that binds. So we have been VS Strategies for almost 10 years now, and there's been a lot of change and evolution at the firm, and something we kind of want to share and talk about. Maybe it's interesting to us because it really is the growth of a business and how we've kind of evolved our consulting firm over the years. But it just became time that, you know, we kind of have changed. And as that evolution occurred, we decided it was time to not only kind of change how we're doing business, but also change the name of the firm. And we've shifted away from, you know, VS Strategies, and we will be Strategy 64 moving forward. And so, you know, you mentioned that the idea of this tie that binds, and, you know, first and foremost, you know, our founding partner, the person who managed this firm for many, many years, Steve Fox, who's no longer with us. You know, he was the chief architect in many ways of Amendment 64 and cannabis legalization here in Colorado, doing that work with Mason. And, you know, we want to make sure that we honor that heritage, that history, but also the vision and the way that you guys went about things from really focusing on doing good public policy, you know, making a change, making a difference, also supporting business and understanding the economic realities, but doing it in a way that makes an impact and being very strategic about public policy. And that's, you know, Mason came up with this really cool logo to honor Steve several years ago, to honor, you know, the strategic way that he taught us to think about things. And that's how we kind of came to be and came together under Amendment 64. So Mason, you were really the first person in this, you know, that where that story starts. And so could you just share with us quickly, like, kind of how you kind of the lead up to and how you got involved without maybe spilling all the beans for a future episode where we get way deep into the weeds?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I moved to Colorado in 2005 to start an organization called SAFER, which I started with Steve. And it was really a pilot project to see if there might be a quicker way to build support for legalization. And that was by highlighting the relative safety of marijuana compared to alcohol. And Steve and I kind of put that entity together. I came out here and started it. We started on college campuses. Then we ran a city initiative in Denver, a strategic initiative statewide, and really just, you know, it was really a media campaign, just building things up to get people hearing that marijuana is safer than alcohol so that they would be, you know, buttered up and ready to agree that it made sense to regulate it and tax it and treat it like alcohol. And so it's really 7-year media campaign leading up to what would then be the drafting and passage of Amendment 64.
And I think that that's an important and core part of our identity is that, you know, in some ways, life is a series of happy accidents, but it also you can kind of game that out a little bit. And if you're able to strategically think and plot, develop a plan and execute on a strategy that you might need to pivot from time to time, you can really accomplish great things. And I think that was one of the great lessons that Steve left us with and that permeates how we think about things at our firm as we work with our clients on what their goals are, but then try to backtrack a plan and a strategic kind of vision on how we help them get there and what we can do to support them. And so, you know, that is a core tenet to kind of how we do things here. And so, Christian, you were the next person. I'm the last person that comes into this story. Christian, you come into the story next. And can you share just a little bit about how you started to get involved with Amendment 64 and the tie that binds us all together?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, obviously, Mason's been doing this since 2005, as you mentioned, or even maybe a little bit before. I'm much later to the game. I became involved in about 2009, 2010. I'd been friends with Brian Vicente for a few years. We'd been doing some skiing together. So in 2009, Brian approached me about getting together once medical marijuana was going to be regulated in Colorado. Said maybe, you know, you're the only corporate lawyer I really know well and would trust to be a part of this. So we formed the law firm Vicente Cederberg in May of 2010. Now Vicente LLP. And so really that started my involvement just with marijuana generally, cannabis policy generally, under the new medical marijuana law. But the plan, even at the very beginning of the firm, was working with Mason and his organization at the time, Marijuana Policy Project, and some other policy organizations. The idea was 2012 would be the year to go for legalization here in Colorado. So I was honestly just honored to be a part of it and honored to be able to be at that moment in history and kind of stand on the shoulders of Steve and Mason and Brian and others who had been working on this for a number of years. So, I mean, these days, you know, now that I've been doing it for 12, 13, 14 years, it's a lot longer than a lot of people, but at the time I felt very green and learned a lot from all these guys, Steve in particular, Mason, Brian, especially, but Steve was the head of it.
Christian really dove right in. I mean, you know, Christian like was pretty immediately not just like an attorney working on cannabis, but like a board member for this, you know, I don't even remember like some of those medical cannabis organizations and, you know, being heavily involved in all of the politics going on around it. So I just want to make that clear that, you know, because there's a number of attorneys and they're great attorneys and they were involved in advocacy and whatnot that, you know, were involved in defending patients and so on. But like you really got into it, not just at the level of being an attorney, but being deeply involved in policy and political and regulatory stuff.
Thanks, Mason. Yeah, that's definitely how I got my feet wet in terms of the work we do now at Strategy 64. You know, started going down to the legislature back in 2011, 12, and every year, you know, that was when medical was evolving, the regulations were being set. And then after the passage of Amendment 64, the governor of Colorado, Governor Hickenlooper, appointed me to kind of represent the campaign and the interests of those who voted for Amendment 64 on the task force. So I didn't become a lobbyist by something I was seeking out. It just kind of happened. But obviously, it's a fascinating area of policy. We've had 15 legislative sessions since I've been involved, really 15 legislative sessions, 14, 15 legislative sessions since the medical marijuana laws were being created here. That doesn't seem like much time, but in some ways it seems like a lifetime. So yeah, it's an exciting time and there's still a lot of work to be done. And I bet we'll be having marijuana in different state houses and at the federal level for years and years to come, decades to come. There's going to be a lot of work to be done.
Forever.
Well, and that's how it works, right? Alcohol policy is still changing. I was laughing with some of our colleagues last week about the number of liquor bills that are currently being run in Colorado. And so, you know, I think that timeline Christian gets involved in 2010, there's a couple of legislative sessions where Colorado becomes the first state to not just, you know, pass a medical marijuana initiative, but adopt actual policy and regulations, state statutes governing the commercial side of medical cannabis. And Christian was very involved in those initial conversations. And then Amendment 64 comes along, and that's where I started getting into the story. So in 2013, Colorado became, along with Washington, the first two states to vote to legalize cannabis for and regulate cannabis for adult use. I had just moved to Colorado at that time, and was doing kind of just general policy and political work, mostly volunteering and not getting paid, working with some of the Democrats here in Colorado. The legislature moves to start working on implementation. At the joints, first they had the governor's task force, which Christian had just mentioned he was appointed to. And I was basically working as an intern in the Colorado House Majority Office, and showed up to work one day as the governor's task force was wrapping up their work. And what that meant was kind of an outline of what legislation should look like was coming over from the governor's task force to the legislature. Colorado, always loving their stakeholder processes, had a massive stakeholder process, really our first massive one, to outline recommendations for implementation. And I got called into the legislative director's office and was like, you're now going to work on marijuana legalization. Go meet Representative Dan Pabon, one of our good friends and really, really sharp policy person in the cannabis space now that we still get to work with. And was like, go work with Dan and help him get this thing done. And within a few weeks, I had met Christian and Mason and Steve on a morning that I think none of us will ever forget. I think I met Steve the day he might have been the feistiest in all of the times I ever saw Steve that morning. You know, kind of had this opportunity to work on implementation first at the legislature of marijuana legalization here, of implementing Amendment 64, working it through what was the Joint Select Committee, and then passing a bill in 13 working days with no conference committee, one of, I think, the great accomplishments of my career without question, that we were able to not only get it done, but get it done in a way where we had enough consensus between the House and the Senate, got that bill signed by the governor, and within a few weeks was hired by the Marijuana Enforcement Division to work on regulatory policy and actually draft a lot of the regulations that implemented cannabis for the first time ever. And I can still see in states today sentences that I am no longer proud of having written, because I would have written them differently 15 years ago or 13 years ago or whatever it was. But they're still, you know, taking policy that we adopted in Colorado and moving it along. And it's pretty amazing to see. And then during that implementation process that we were talking about, I'd really become close with Christian. One of the realities was that, you know, he tended to look at things in a similar way as me. So we hadn't really become like friends at this point. I think it was at the beginning, but I always knew that when I would go into one of these rooms, Christian would be the one person who kind of tended to read things the same way I did. And that kind of started that kind of way of looking at policy, which largely was don't screw this up for the rest of the country. You know, Christian was working on behalf of the campaign, and his job was to make sure that this was implemented in a thoughtful and responsible way that would lead to success elsewhere. And I had just moved here from New Jersey, and all of my friends back home and my family were like saying, hey, that's cool, don't screw this up for everyone else. And so we kind of walked into a lot of meetings with the same perspective. And so after we had finished implementation of legalization, it was time for me to either kind of really settle in at the Marijuana Enforcement Division and stay there for a long time, or jump ship. You know, it was one of those moments in life where you're like, okay, I got to be here for at least a few more years, or I have to take my life down a different path. And it just was very clear to me with everything going on that the move was to make a jump, and called up Christian. And I think me, Christian, and Josh went out to dinner. I believe it was at Satchel's on 6th, an amazing spot in Denver, in 2014. And we talked about what it would look like for me to come work at Vicente Cederberg, now Vicente LLC, where I got to work directly with just so many wonderful and amazing friends of ours, Andrew Livingston, Sean Hauser, Brian, Josh, all the OGs that were part of our crew, and all the people we got to train along the way. And then one day I showed up to work and Steve was in town from DC, and we all had a meeting in a conference room, and the partners announced, Christian, Brian, Josh, and Steve had founded a secondary firm, VS Strategies, and that we were going to have a secondary vehicle to do policy work in. And that was just kind of the culmination of this amazing journey where, you know, I had the opportunity to meet people who had made such amazing change in the world and get to work with so many people that I admired. And, you know, the fortune of life is, you know, you kind of go through these things. And now, more than a decade later, these people that I, you know, back then were admiring are now my closest friends in the world. And I couldn't be happier to kind of announce this kind of shift in our name. But one that really honors the core thread of what we do here, as well as, you know, our founding partner, Steve. So, Christian, maybe you could jump in. When we first started doing work with VS Strategies, the kind of work that we sought out and the kind of work that we did was a little bit different than what we're doing today. Can you kind of share, when you guys started this firm, what you were thinking and kind of where we started, and then we can talk about that evolution for a minute?
Yeah, sure. And you know, obviously, the idea was to allow Steve and, you know, kind of the carry on this advocacy work, understanding that the world had changed and that now that legalization had happening and was going to continue to expand. How do we find a way to continue to do the work, but fund it and, you know, make sure we're able to be nimble? So, you know, some of the initial work was really just trying to find ways to work with other, you know, people looking to change policy in their respective states or, you know, even in other countries, frankly, when we started talking to some, you know, some folks in Uruguay and otherwise over the years. But, you know, it's obviously that's where it starts. Everything starts somewhere and it always evolves. And, you know, we were working at that time too with some of the industry groups who were making kind of policy everywhere. That includes running the National Cannabis Industry Association's policy committee, which was kind of, you know, ideated out of, or, you know, brainstormed session that came really Steve and some others coming up with a way to help push policy through that industry association. So, you know, interesting work working with trade groups over the years and trying to work with local governments and, you know, figuring all that out, and then also starting to work with private clients. But, you know, initially a lot of it, yeah, was through nonprofits. We even formed our own nonprofit, the Council for Responsible Cannabis Regulation. I just got a notice in the mail that we owe some back taxes, or we're owed actually a refund of $39. So a little bittersweet to see those kinds of things, because, you know, reminds me of those early days, and times were simpler then. And our friend Steve was still with us. So, you know.
Yeah, I always kind of think of CRCR as the precursor to VS Strategies, that it was this nonprofit that, you know, we were fortunate enough to have some colleagues and friends in the cannabis space fund some work. And they were like, go figure out how to make implementation work. And I think it was my first ever project on that was going to California with Steve before Prop 64, and got to meet so many amazing people who kind of were at the founding of this industry. And have some very special experiences and made some great friends that I'll cherish really for the rest of my life. I mean, I think I also kind of blew Steve's mind a little bit because I was so naive and so, you know, bright eyed that he kind of had some political realities that he was trying to deal with as everyone was playing chess in a very kind of complicated boardroom. And I was just this like, well, let's just talk about policy. That's what we're here to do. And I was like, almost like, the complexity of what I was in the middle of almost flew over my head, and got to go from that to founding VS Strategies and the work that we did with NCIA's Policy Council and kind of that general work of advising people on really implementing legalization. And that was the core of where our business started in a lot of ways. Andrew Livingston, Chloe Grossman, who was the first in-house employee at VS Strategies, and I wrote a big white paper for NCIA's Policy Council about packaging and labeling, got to give a keynote address at an NCIA conference in California, doing a bunch of stuff about all the culmination of that work. And so, you know, originally we were very focused on that question of how do you responsibly implement legalization, and did a lot of our consulting work through that. And then things started to evolve. We started working a little bit more directly with private businesses, doing some more normal traditional government affairs work here in Colorado, starting out at the regulatory level and eventually transitioning into having lobbyists on retainer and running major pieces of legislation. And around that time, as the firm started to evolve and we started working in different capacities with trade associations, it was, you know, time for really Mason to join the firm. Things have been had developed and evolved in such a way where I think Mason was always part of the family. Even when he worked with MPP, he worked out of the then Vicente Cederberg offices. But there was this moment where Mason transitioned from that nonprofit work to being a partner here at VS Strategies. And Mace, can you just talk a little bit about, you know, how you kind of came over and how that, how your work here has really evolved? Because we don't work with those trade associations doing their communications work anymore. And in fact, we have this like amazing new thing that you're applying your skills to.
Yeah, my transition to the dark side. So, you know, we actually, you know, we are still doing some of that work. So, you know, Colorado Leads. But yeah, you know, initially, you know, a lot of the work I was doing was communications based. I have been doing media relations and other communications, work for a very long time. And that was kind of had become a specialty. So, when I first came over to VS Strategies, that was really what I was focused on. I was, you know, writing press releases for companies and handling all the media relations for the law firm Jordan said, helping some of the larger national trade groups with their communications efforts. And then, you know, as things have kind of evolved, we're now, you know, we've reached this point where we've done all this work in various areas of the industry, not only this industry but others with regards to hemp and psychedelics. We also are, you know, involved in so many different areas, whether it's ballot initiatives or legislative advocacy or regulatory rulemaking or simply just helping companies figure out what they should be doing strategically. And one of the things that we're doing to now kind of tie that all together and help people is put together a product called the Cannabis Policy Advisor, which is you know, a suite of products or services, legislative tracking, rulemaking tracking, policy and industry reports, really taking the insights that our team has and the knowledge that we have and the information that we're able to access through our networks and making that, you know, available to folks so that they can make their business decisions with the best information possible. And so we're really excited about it. We are starting to do it as subscriptions. Unlike most tech company startups who raise a bunch of money and then build out a product, we are kind of going backwards in that we have built out this product and we're hoping that it will raise a bunch of money, but we will see. But it's an exciting kind of transition. We're going to continue doing all the consulting work and that remains, you know, a big focus. But at the same time, we've now got this new kind of, you know, project going on that I think is going to really bolster what we're doing around the country.
Yeah, we are tremendously excited about that. And you mentioned also Colorado Leads, which is an amazing trade association that Christian and some of our colleagues helped found along with the board president, Chuck Smith, many years ago, that does incredible work. And so Mason is still doing communications work there, but also has evolved into running a trade association, which I don't know was on his skill set plan, but we help manage from events to everything else that group does and all of its communications out to its members. And it's having a huge impact this legislative session here in Colorado. And kudos to our entire team, as well as all the members and board members who are spending a lot of time trying to make sure we help improve operating conditions here in our amazing home state of Colorado. And then Mason, you mentioned, you know, the Cannabis Policy Advisor. And so, you know, one of the real evolution of our firm was, as we kind of shifted away from really just focusing on implementation of adult use and working more with, businesses, some trade associations, but really doing direct consulting, helping advise companies of all sizes on, you know, how the impacts of public policy will either create opportunities or risks for their businesses and what they can do about it. We kind of identified some through lines of, hey, we're tracking all of this different information, you know, a little bit for client A, a little bit for client B, a little bit for client C. How do we take a step back, look at all of this information that we're collecting, and, you know, assuming if company A is interested in it, there's a good chance another company down the line would be, and how do we kind of repurpose it and repackage it in a new way? And, you know, one of the exciting parts about it has really been watching the team come together, because it's a new skill set. It's not just consulting with clients. It's really, how do we take all of this incredibly complicated policy information and distill it down into a very digestible format for folks? And that seems to be almost, you know, one of the things Mason is spending so much time on. And it's amazing. You know, I think we have a team of unbelievable writers, but kudos to Mason, because every time we think we've got something really well written that we sent to him to do the final touch on, and it comes back, and I'm just floored at the clarity with which he's able to kind of communicate these complicated things. I'm regularly reminded that I think I'm a good writer, and then Mason gets a hold of something I write and it just comes out way better. So it's really cool watching you apply all these skills that you've built over the years, you know, to this new service that we're really excited about and rethink is, you know, a huge part of Strategy 64. We're still going to be working with Colorado Leads. We're still going to be changing policy and improving working conditions and business conditions here in the state of Colorado. And we're proud to continue advising all these amazing companies and associations we've worked with for years and years, who are current clients, former clients, prospective clients, and everyone else in our world, to help make great cannabis policy and help these businesses kind of navigate the complex and choppy waters that are always ahead in cannabis in a way that creates jobs and economic impact for the betterment of communities. But now we get to do it in this kind of subscription, low cost way that's been a new way to think about communicating policy information. And we're excited that that's kind of on the forefront of the next stage of Strategy 64. And so before we wrap, we also wanted to share one other thing, another, you know, in the theme of new names and new formats and new ways of sharing information. We are excited to co-host the first ever Cannabis Policy Symposium with UNLV's Cannabis Policy Institute this coming December. Lots more information coming around that. But first time ever, Strategy 64, or I guess VS Strategies, or either of us have put on our own conference, a real legitimate cannabis policy event with great panels and amazing speakers from around the country that will be talking about the kinds of things we talk to our clients about all day long, the most important issues about cannabis policy that affect us on a daily basis. And we're very proud to be able to partner with UNLV, an amazing academic institution, and put on an event in December that should be right around MJ BizCon, when there's lots of amazing cannabis people in town to talk about how we can make a better industry together.
And you can actually right now go on to our new website, which is at strategies64.com. And there's a blog post on there about that, the Cannabis Policy Institute Symposium. You can sign up to be notified of when the details become available and to request an invitation to that event. So again, that's strategies64.com, and we encourage you to check it out. It's a brand new website.
Awesome.
Yeah, exciting stuff.
We've got a new conference, a new symposium that we are launching with amazing partners at UNLV. What a wonderful academic institution. And we're excited to do it around MJ BizCon, and when we're going to have so many different cannabis thought leaders in Las Vegas trying to make a better industry. We have a new service, Cannabis Policy Advisor, that we're launching. We have a new firm name. So lots of new things going on, and that definitely is the theme of the podcast. But I'd also share, it is all being brought to you by the same cannabis policy experts, the same weed wonks here at VS Strategies, now Strategy 64. We're very proud of our heritage. We're very proud of where we've come from and all the things we've accomplished, but we are tremendously excited about all the things looking forward. So the best, the experts in cannabis policy, the minds that have been at this for a very long time together, are very proud to be launching a new name and a new banner to make a huge impact and support the cannabis industry under Strategy 64. So thank you, Mason. Thank you, Christian, for jumping on. And more importantly, thank you for all the incredible work that you've done over the years to help us bring us to where we are today. And I couldn't be happier and prouder to move forward into this new world together with our team that we've built and to continue on the vision of when we first founded VS Strategies, and with, you know, all of the kind of mentorship that we've gotten from Steve over the years, and appreciate that so tremendously from our team, from you guys. And we look forward to a bright new future as Strategy 64. And we look forward to engaging with all of our friends and colleagues at upcoming events, or hopefully attending the symposium that will be coming up around the corner in December. So looking forward to connecting with everybody soon. And with that, we'll just say, stay nerdy, everybody.